We're in the fifth week of our series, Greatest of All Time, GOAT. And I hope you've had a good time in this series. If you're new today, we're honored to have you, and you're welcomed here. Welcome home. We would love the chance to get to meet you and serve you, see how we can come alongside you and help you. You're welcomed here. But this month, we've taken fun, just poll or ideas for a poll, basically, and had your participation through social media. And then on the weekend, we announce the winner, and we preach messages that are relevant to our everyday life. And so the first weekend, we did the greatest decade of all time. You guys chose the 80s. Then we did the greatest athlete of all time. You guys chose Michael Jordan. Then we did the greatest entertainer of all time. You guys chose Michael Jackson. Last week, I got the chance to preach with my wife and my parents as we spoke on family for the poll of the greatest TV family of all time. I believe you were right. You chose the Banks from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And so this week, we did the greatest actor of all time. Now, there's so many good options. I have so many favorite actors, but I agree with this choice. I agree with what you thought. So do you want to know who won the greatest actor of all time? You want to know this? Okay, the greatest actor of all time, according to you, is... He's had some good movies now. Don't lie to him, right? Some of those, I start crying. I'm just like, oh, Jesus, touch me right now. But I promise this will make sense today to our everyday life. I pray it touches you. I pray that every one of us would just lay down our resistance. You in this room and online, I pray any resistance we have, I pray that you and I would lay it down. We would set aside distraction, and we would just receive what God has for us. Are we willing to do that today? And so I'm going to preach on the greatest actor. Father, I thank you for this message. I pray that you would move in us today, and that you would touch us with your Holy Spirit, that all of us take our next step. Keep us safe, I pray, in this room, and as we leave this week, be over us, watch us. We commit our lives into you. We cast our cares onto you because you care for us. We are yours in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalms 42. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to skip down and read verse 8. If you want to take notes, you can flip over your worship guide, and you can do so. Greatest actor. This is a psalm written by a man named Korah, who wrote several psalms that we have in the Bible. The word psalm means song. So if you read psalms, literally all of them were originally songs that were sung in a gathering or in a church service, as we would call it, at some point. I think all of us can connect to this passage. This is one of my favorite passages. And I want to just break it down today and encourage us with where we're at, and I believe how God wants to touch us. So verse 1, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? Now verse 8, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Amen. If I would read this whole psalm, you would see the context of why Korah is full of tears. And if you think about this, all of us in this room and online, whether you cry easy or you don't, all of us have had heartbreak at some level. In other words, for this passage, tears. We've had physical tears or maybe internal tears, but all of us have had them and probably, unfortunately, will have them again. And yet Jesus is the healer of all of our pain. And it's interesting, if you look into this, I love the imagery of the writer. He says, as the deer longs for water, so my soul longs for you. Or as he pants for water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Just think that, I mean, just pull that image in your mind for a minute. Now, I've been blessed to have a dog recently. And Jesus, I think you should try it too, so you can join me. And I thought about this message because I'm up, you know, Summer, you know, she wants to rest, you know, and she says, I had four kids, and so now it's your turn. Okay, thank you, I appreciate that. So you're up in the middle of the night, so I'm out in the middle of the yard. Well, he's going to the bathroom at 2 a.m. One day I saw a fox, and then I go out again at 5 o'clock, and I see a skunk. And then last night, I'm out there in the middle of the night, ready to preach to you wonderful people. And we see three deers. And when I saw those deers, I thought about them staring at us, but I thought about them panting in the morning after a night of rest, or panting in the day after running, panting for water. And it's an amazing picture, because he's comparing that panting for water to you and I longing for God. And having a desire for God. And I think it's important that all of us are better off to admit that all of us have real tears. Isn't that true? Yeah. At some level we do. And I think you and I can connect to Korah, because here's why he had tears. Just a few things that are mentioned later on in this psalm. First, as we did read, he was taunted in his faith. People are making fun of him, mocking him, saying, "Where is your God? If your God is real, why isn't he moving?" I think some of us in this room probably at some point maybe have felt the pressure of standing up for God, or the pressure of being different, or the pressure of standing out and then taking the hit and being, you know, called, you know, different names, or maybe people making fun of God, or making fun of you for going to church, or making fun of you for stepping out. I'm sure most of us, or at least a few of us, have experienced that at some point in our life. I never forget when I was in Bible school. I've told the story before, but I was at Ohio State University, and I was doing some outreach there, and a woman came up and she told me to go to hell, and she smacked me across the face. And I said, "Man, I have been beaten for the cross of Christ. I have arrived into the annals of history. Great was the faith of Moses and Abraham and Joshua, and the faith of David who got slapped at Ohio State University." And then I had a girl beat her up anyway. And so just kidding. I did not do that. I'm sure all of us have, or will have, if you're serious about God, you're going to feel the pressure of this. Where is your God? If he's real, why are you serving him? If God's so good, why did bad things happen to good people? If he is God, why isn't your prayers answered? If he's God, why am I more blessed than you? And those statements can cause us to be frustrated. Or if you read on down, he also deals with the fact that we preached on this the first weekend of the series. He's looking back to yesterday, and he's upset because his present day is, as you said, full of tears, as we read. And so he's looking back thinking, "Man, yesterday was better. Why am I here? Why am I dealing with this?" And so I think, you know, a lot of us in this room and online can connect to this pool of nostalgia that wants to cause us to live in the past, or it paralyzes us and we live for someday and we miss today. He's crying because he's made fun of. I think we can connect. He's crying because yesterday seems better than the moment now. He's also crying because he's discouraged. I think probably a lot of us in this room and online are facing discouragement in some way. Discouragement can come from a lot of reasons, but one reason is, man, I'm trying to serve God, I'm trying to, you know, do this, and really nothing's changing, or I'm praying and nothing's happening. And so we can get discouraged in the seemingly delayed response of God. How many have been there before? I know in my life today, I'm discouraged about a few things. I want something to change. I want things to be better. I want God to do it like yesterday. How many have been there before? And you can be discouraged. I'm discouraged because today my dog pooped 3 times in our house before we left for church today. And I'm discouraged because I had to pray and really get in the spirit so I wouldn't get mad at you and preach because of my dog pooping 3 times, once in my bedroom and 2 in my living room. God help us all. Welcome to the ministry. But he's discouraged. And all of us can connect to a few of these things, or all of them. All of us understand it. Maybe we're in it right now. Here's the powerful thing. Just a couple thoughts to write down. There is power in our tears, whether they are physical or internal. Because whether you cry easy or you don't, the truth is all of us have it. Real tears. But then there's power in acknowledging our tears. I'm going somewhere. Please stay with me. What we admit in our life, God can fix. What we acknowledge in our life, God can heal. What we're honest about in our life, God can come in and do something about it. There's a mythical idea that is propagated in churches, and it's from a good heart, and it's half true. God is sovereign. He can do anything. Whatever he wants to do in my life, he'll do it. The truth of that statement is God is sovereign. He can do anything he wants to do. What's not true is you and I idly sitting down and just saying whatever God wants to do, he'll do. That's not even in the Bible. What is in the Bible is Noah, go build a boat. And it's never rained. But when you build a boat, I'll show up. What is in the Bible is David, be faithful with the stinky sheep. And when you face almost a 10-foot tall man, you get 5 stones and you go down and do something in my name and I'll show up. In other words, in the Bible, you and I have a part to play. And when you and I give God something to work with, that's called faith, then God can take it and do something with it. I want to pose this question. Out of all the miracles in the Bible, out of all the phenomenal miracles in the Bible, how many miracles did not require a human participation? Only creation. Everything else, even the lady, came from the man's rib. He had to put him to sleep and make a woman. Every miracle in the Bible, please hear me, came because someone obeyed God and stepped out in faith. God met them and God showed them what he could do. So God is sovereign. He can do whatever. He's just waiting for someone to say, here I am, God. I'll give you something to work with. And then he does it. Because of that, when you and I admit that I have issues, when we admit and we acknowledge that we have struggle, when we're honest about it, again, that's our part, then that empowers God to come in our life and do something about it. In other words, for this message today, while we honor Denzel and his ability, I love Denzel. I love his movies. Tom Hanks was on the list. I love Tom Hanks, an amazing actor. I love Morgan Freeman, man. I love his voice. In Evan Almighty, I was like, man, he would be a good God, but he's not, but he would be kind of cool, you know? I had those thoughts. Meryl Streep, an amazing actor. I mean, there's so many, I'm just keep going. But in the body of Christ, when it comes to Jesus, God doesn't want actors. God wants real people. So he doesn't want us to pretend and act in character of someone we're not. He wants us just to be real and be raw. Real tears, so that he can do what we can't do in our life. Our challenge is, I'm tempted and you are too. Now, I'm not saying that everyone needs to know our business, and that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that our challenge is that we can live a life of acting, pretending, putting on fronts, even with God, let alone our neighbors, making them think something that's not there. And what God wants from us is not to be in the character of someone we're pretending to be. He wants us just to be our authentic self, broken. That's why we're a hospital at City Church. We're not here to perform church. We're not here to look the part and to impress people with our, you know, with our Sunday outfit. We're here to come to God and say, God, I'm broken. Everyone's welcomed here. I'm not acting anymore. I'm reaching up with a humble, broken heart maybe, and I need God to touch my life. This is what God wants from us. And you and I can connect with Korah because notice what Korah did with his tears. He's crying. He's upset because of these few things. And notice his response. He doesn't quit Jesus. He doesn't quit church. He doesn't turn to bitterness. He doesn't get angry. He doesn't get all worked up. What does he do? He's crying. He's upset. And he says, as the deer pants for the water, so I long for God. Please hear me. Just please lean in on this. Notice when it got the toughest, he got the closest to God. He didn't run from God when he didn't get what he wanted. He was glued to God because God was the very essence of his life. I encourage you today that not every prayer will be answered in the time we want it to. Not everything we will understand. There'll be things that we don't get. But when things get tough or we're crying or we're broken and we have real tears, we can have a real God. And our real God will show up. But folks, we shouldn't run the coop when things don't go our way. We got to stay planted because I'm not in it for what he can give me. I'm in it to get him forever, to see him face to face. And I want to challenge all of us in this room and online. When marriage is tough, stand your ground and serve God. When you get everything you want or you get nothing you want, you stand and you serve God. When you feel fulfilled or unfulfilled, you stand and serve God. When you're crying and you're broken and you've been betrayed and rejected and they've hated on you and the world system has pushed you down, you don't quit God. You say, I'm going to come. I long for you, God. I'm crying, but I'm thirsty for you. I long for you. Take me as I am. I'm not here to pretend. I'm here to be real. This is what God wants. And yet all of us are tempted. In fact, church culture gets labeled with this term more than any other. They're a bunch of hypocrites. The word hypocrite is in the Bible, in the Greek language, and the word hypocrite literally means an actor. It means an actor. God isn't... Some people are hypocrites, but there's a lot of hypocrites. There's hypocrites on your job. There's hypocrites at the bar. There's hypocrites on Tinder. There's hypocrites. Don't turn me off. The NFL hasn't started yet. It ain't 1 o'clock yet. Right? Let's not, I mean, that's a wrong, but it's true. Unfortunately, it's true. There's hypocrites in all segments of life in church. But God's not wanting that. He wants us in the brokenness and the tears in verse 1 and 2 and 8 that you and I would say, I long for God. You know, it's easy to long, though, for other things when we're vulnerable and crying. When we're tired physically, emotionally, we're weary, we're weepy. We're frustrated. We're upset. It's easy. Please stay tuned. Just please lean in on this. It's easy to go to narcotics. It's easy to get high and use rationale to do it, to numb yourself. It's easy to get drunk. It's easy to do cocaine and crack and heroin. It's easy to gamble all your money away. It's easy to go towards something else when you're broken. In fact, when we're broken is probably our most vulnerable time. It's easy to be tempted to long for an illicit sexual behavior to fulfill this idea of a fantasy, especially when we're broken. But when we're broken, Korah gives us the antidote that when we're tempted possibly to do something else, to fulfill the brokenness of our heart, that actually we don't have to get high anymore. We don't have to live in secret anymore. We don't have to do something illicit anymore. We can go to God, and in my brokenness, He heals me. In my brokenness, He receives me. In my brokenness, He wants me. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to memorize any line on a script. I can just come to God and be me. I can long for God. Then he says, I thirst for God. I thirst for Him. Man, I love that. Notice the language. I long for God. I thirst for God. Real tears, real God. When you and I have real tears, you may have them right now, and you may not. But when you do, you don't run from Him, you run to Him. And you grab on and you're thirsty for God. In other words, it's His Spirit that quenches your thirst. It's His Spirit that quenches your life. But notice, just like longing, when you and I are broken, when we're tired, when we're weary, when we're crying, when we're upset and bitter and angry, it's easy to be thirsty for other things. It's easy to be thirsty for alcohol and get drunk. It's easy to start to shift and sway with the crowd around us because of our brokenness. When I was smoking weed, I realized real quick that I was doing it it was the enemy setting me up, but I realized real quick that the people I was around, I was not better than them. And I'm not saying that. I was not better than them. And yet I realized how blessed I was and how I was doing it to rebel. I was doing it because of my anger, because of my struggle. They were doing it because of total just destruction in their home. And I saw the difference. In fact, there's a definition for sin that I love. Any act of sin is an illegitimate act trying to meet a legitimate need. That's why, man, we're not here to judge you. I'm not here to judge people. I'm not here to judge you watching. We're not here to judge. We're all sick. Aren't we all jacked up? Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, he really is. We're not here to be judging, but we're here on purpose for God. But really, that's why I have compassion on myself and others, because really when we're sinning, it's not that we're bad people. It's just like, man, I have this legitimate need, but I'm tempted to thirst for illegitimate things. But what I really want is God. But it's easy to, isn't it easy to thirst and even have access to quick fixes? Even sex. You know, the Bible speaks of sex in Proverbs chapter 5. He speaks of it as rivers. And he says, if you're a wise man, you're not going to have sex just with anyone in the street. Read the scriptures. He says, be ravished with the wife of your youth. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. The Bible's a bad book, boy. You better read that thing. And that's all I'm going to say about that. My wife got on me the first service. But the psalmist is reaching for God. Real tears, real God. He longed for God. He was thirsty for God. And then in verse 8, he says, the Lord pours daily over him his unfailing love. You know, the Bible says that his unfailing love gives us new mercies every day. I can almost see God in heaven, especially for me. I don't know about you. Maybe you're better than me. But for me, bless his heart, he probably just wore out. But anyway, when it hits midnight, he's like, okay, this boy needs new mercy. Just mercy, mercy, mercy. I'm sleeping and dreaming away. And then by the time I get up in the morning and you get up in the morning, and before our feet even hit the bed, he's already prepared new mercy for that day to walk with God. What I'm preaching today is so important, because even last weekend, down here at the altar, during worship, I was worshiping God, and I just felt something drop in my spirit. I can't explain it to you. I just felt like it was God just telling me something about myself. And I realized a major piece of my life of why I don't have more joy. And so I said, God, you're right. And so I repented, and then I wanted God to heal me, and so I'm giving that to God. I'm investigating that about myself. See, I'm not preaching at you. I'm talking with you. I don't want to be an actor, and I'm not. I want to be real, and I want God to go down in me and make me whole. So I've been praying about that, I fast, and I've been asking God, and then I called one of the counselors that go to our church, and I'm going to see them on Wednesday, because I'm determined to not have any pretense or mask of another character. I'm going to be me. And I'm going to let God heal the real me. And it really doesn't matter what people think, because if we can live with ourselves, then we can live with and around anybody. If you're comfortable in yourself, like today my wife said, your shirt looks country. I said, I can rock it. I'm good. I'll make it look hip. I hope. I don't know. Maybe I don't, but maybe the only time I'll wear it. But I like it. Like, I'm going to be comfortable with me. Be comfortable with you. And be comfortable with you and God. And know what God wants from you. He doesn't want our performance. We're not here to win an Oscar. We're here to give him our heart. And say, God, here I am. And again, what we admit, he can fix. What I acknowledge, he can heal. What I'm honest about, God can come in. And this is one of my favorite psalms. Before I move on here, I want to give you just some practical things, two practical steps. But I love this. When I was a little kid, we used to sing this song, and it's the song. And he says, as the deer panteth forth the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart. Desire, see, I'm getting touched, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone, notice, make my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Come on, worship him for a minute today. Come on. Come on, let his presence touch you right now. He's coming in this room. I feel him breaking me up. Because in my moments of desperation, I can sing that song from my childhood. And it brings me to his presence. Come on, just for a moment, raise your hands and let God touch you today. If you never raised your hand ever in church, do it today. He doesn't want our performance, folks. He wants our hearts. To you alone make our spirit yield, O God. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone make my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. And I long to worship you. And I long to worship you. Come on, give him praise that. I feel him in his place. Now, if we were in churches that I grew up in, we would end it like, and I long, and I long, and I long to worship you. If you're in that type of church, come on, give God praise. And I long. And then they would stop and say, do you feel me today? And I long. If I could sing, I would. Anyway, how many feel God? I feel God on me right now. I pray you do too. I grew up in churches like that. Real tears, real God. In closing, real talk. This is probably one of the greatest things that God has empowered me to do in my own life, is to have real talk. Faith is not denial, folks. Faith is not deflecting and blaming on someone else. Faith does not look at the mountain and say, that's not there. Faith does not look at a broken marriage and not acknowledge it. Faith doesn't look at financial lack and say, it's not there. Faith doesn't look at sickness and ignore it. Faith looks at the mountain, full maybe of fear and trembling. And faith speaks to it and stands its ground. This is big for us at City Church. We have core values for our church, which you can look on the website to see. We also have core values for our team, for the staff. We have an amazing staff, about 30 people. And one of our core values for the staff is real feedback. In other words, two-way street. We call it two-way street. This idea of having real talk. I want to encourage you in this final moments here today is you take this message. The greatest actor of all time. We give props and mad respect to all the great actors that we go watch their movies. But when it comes to Jesus, he's never asked us to be an actor. He asked us to be real. And the real talk piece of this is two parts for your notes. Is first, I want to challenge me and you today that every one of us would be honest with God and honest with ourselves. And being honest with ourselves is a scary thing. It's not easy. We wouldn't blame anymore. We wouldn't look at other people anymore. We wouldn't deflect anymore. Even for all married people, we would say, you know what? in my marriage right now, what's my part to play in this? In my parenting, if there's a gap in my parenting, it's not only my kids' fault. Man, what about me? How can I do better? Maybe in my career, you know what? My attitude isn't always right. Maybe if we're honest, man, sometimes I do cut corners. Let's be honest. Just for example, right? And we're honest with God, and we're honest with people, and or we're honest with God and honest with ourselves, excuse me. And when we're honest with ourselves and honest with God in the real talk piece of this, then God can come in and do some great work in our heart. If I was honest today, a lot of us struggle being honest with ourselves. It's easy to shift and deflect and point and blame and make excuses. And I understand. I've done it. It takes courage to say, you know what? God, help me. Man, I need help here. I got weakness, man. Help me. In real talk, we're honest with God and with ourselves. Two practical points I want to end with. Be honest with yourself and honest with God. Maybe start today. Start tomorrow. But start this week with a small step. Man, you know, I'm the one that's jealous. I'm the one that's competitive. I'm the one that's bitter. Lord Jesus, cleanse me. See, that's when God begins to move down where people can't see. And the second thing that I'm big about here, I've already mentioned it, I'm doing it this week, is that we find a trusted person and we open up and share with them. A godly person, a person that gives you biblical truth, right? And so I want to encourage you today, in practicality, be honest with yourself and honest with God. Then I want to encourage all of us to find a trusted confidant and begin to speak out loud what we know is there, or as it's revealed to us. Like last week, I was standing here worshiping, and God gave me this idea. I was like, man, that's exactly right, man. Thank you, Lord. I need that. I'm going to go talk to someone about it because I want God to do something in me, right? And so I want to encourage you, the Bible, I'm straight up with this. This is not verbatim in the Bible, but we know other verses are that say this. To be forgiven of our sin, we confess our sins to who? To God. We're going to do it here in just a moment. To be healed, though, there's a principle in James 5, verse 16, to confess your faults one to another, and you will be healed. So to be forgiven, I talk to God. To be healed, there's an aspect where I need to talk to someone else. And when I do that, when I dispel, we were sitting in Indonesia at this cafe when I was with my dad recently. We were in this cafe having breakfast. And we were just talking for 2 hours. And he said, man, you know, tell me some of your fears. And I began just to articulate and talk out loud some of those fears. And I promise you, man, over cappuccino, they began just to fall. They began just to get crushed. You know why? Because I didn't keep them here and keep them here. I spoke them out. And when I heard my own voice say it, I realized how ridiculous it was. I want to encourage you today. My heart here for City, Love, Build, Lead, man, that we help you. You know, we want to love you and we want to build you up. We want to lead you. And I want to encourage you to, man, put this into practice. I've done this. My marriage has been better because of it. My life, my parenting is better because of it. My walk with my parents and my siblings and the staff and my community is better because I've done what I'm preaching, and I'm doing it again this week. Because there's no room in me to act. I'm not going to allow it. I'm tempted like you are. All of us are tempted to act, but man, I'm not. I'm going to say, God, here I am, raw self and all. Take my raw emotion, take my raw feelings, take my raw acts, take my raw thoughts, take my raw life. I give it to you as an offering. Then he takes what's raw and uncut and rough. He turns it into an art that only God can do. And at the end of it, we can say, look what the Lord has done. And Jesus gets the glory. Come on, give him a great hand clap of praise. Come on. He's going to do this for you too. Let's stand to our feet today. You online, stay tuned in, please. As you're standing, one of our pastors here in our church, when they were in college dating, they're married now, they were dating in college, he told her, he confronted her. He said, stop partying and stop going to bars. I want you to stop doing it. And she looked back at him and she said, you're a hypocrite because you go to bars and you're partying right now. And he said in the story, he said, I could share it. In that moment, he dropped to his knees and he repented and he received Jesus as his Savior right there in that moment. And he said here in his story, he said, when I faced my hypocrisy head on, it was the turning point in my life and in my relationship with God. Pastor Tony and Pastor Nikki are a great couple in our church. And they are moving forward. But notice, he laid down the act, and he received the real thing. Real tears, real God, real talk. Please bow your head to heaven in this moment. You would say in this room and online, Pastor David, I've never received Jesus in my life, and I want to receive him today. Or you would say, I have done that at one point, but right now I'm far from God, and I need to come back to God. I feel it today. So you've never done this, or you have, but you're far from him. Both of those are biblical, and yet Jesus fixes both. And so right now, as your hearts are bowed, your heads are bowed, you would say, that's me. Please raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you today. God bless you. Awesome. God bless you today. God bless you. Awesome. God bless you. I see it. God bless you today in the back. I see it. So many people coming. Come on, give them a hand. So many people coming to Christ today. It's good. Thank you. Thank you. Almost done. How many would say, Pastor Dave, as you're preaching in my life, I need to be honest with God and honest with myself. Could be about one topic or maybe more. Others would say, you know what, I need to find a trusted person and really start talking. I want to take these two practical steps because I want to thirst for God and hunger for God through the pain of life. I want God. If that's you and you want support today, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I'm going to pray for you all over this place. Good. Hands up. Thank you. Good. So many hands. Thank you. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out. And please say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours. And I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that. I say no to it. I choose you. I give you my life. Fill me with the courage to be honest with myself, honest with you, and to have the right people in my life that I'm honest with. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer team, come to the front, please. In this moment, here's what we do every weekend, every worship experience. We let you respond to God as you feel led. So in this moment, if you receive Jesus today, I want to encourage you to come down and respond to God. If you have a prayer request about anything, please come down and receive prayer. I believe great things happen when we pray together. During this time of worship, you can take communion. It's on the side walls. You can sit in your seat, but worship with the band. Let your heart connect to God. And then the band will dismiss us and we'll have, I believe, a great day and a great week. So may the Lord bless you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he be good to you. And may the Lord give you peace. And for this message, may all of us be real with God.